The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Hi, guys. Yeah, that perfect synchronization is because we are in exactly the same studio.
Yep, we're in Stamford, Connecticut. We just finished a taping of a Grand Prix that airs today, but by the time you guys hear this, you will have missed it.
And, you know, it's quite possible that NASCAR could just override it again. So
who knows?
So we don't know if anyone's going to see it, so don't feel out of the loop. But just so you know, next Saturday, Saturday, considering that you guys are just getting this, on NBCSN, Saturday night at 11 p.m., we are broadcasting the Grand Prix of China, starring Ashley Wagner and Patrick Chan, two great top skaters. And they're going to be on, and we're going to talk about them. And you should probably give us a rating point.
Yeah,
again,
you should tune in.
NBCSN, 11 p.m. on Saturday.
I mean, we should talk about what happened today. So we're doing the skating, and we finish commentating, and then our producer shows us a video.
Which you should never do.
Especially when it involves a bird.
There was a bird, and it was
on the rink, skating around with this skater. Literally, like, we commentated it. Do you want to redo it for them?
No, we can't redo it.
You can.
Okay.
You become Terry, and I'll take in right after.
So, guys, just, again, to set the scene. So, in every big arena, there always is a chance for rats, bugs, mice. Like, it's not as glamorous as it might look when you see, like, the Beyoncé concert live from Madison Square Garden. There is some nastiness to it. They always smell funny, like old popcorn and hot dog oil. But
I've never seen a pigeon take to the ice.
I've never seen a pigeon take to the ice. So pretend I'm Terry Gannon, who is our broadcast to and fro gentleman, partner, lover. Strange appearance here on the ice in Paris. Mixed pairs, guys.
Well, Terry, I mean, just look at this beautiful avian effect that she's bringing to her program. I mean, her arms are just flapping so gracefully along with those pigeons' wings. It's just, it's very flirtatious.
Traditionally, animal companions brought to the ice go back generations in figure skating and are actually used as a tool for training, where the bird chases you around the ice. Yeah, so guys, what we just commentated was an actual clip that we saw from Paris, this event. This poor Russian girl, Alyona Leonova, had a terrible performance, like 9 deductions. She fell like 30 times. And this pigeon made an appearance mid-program, and there's video of her, like, they look at each other's eyes. Like, it's an actual
moment.
Bestiality moment.
I mean, Johnny and I really wanted this to air on the show. But I don't think that they were so into it. Although I'm putting it out there. I think you guys would probably tune in for that.
You guys definitely would tune in to watch us commentate a skater skating with a pigeon, staring her down, more so than just another random person that falls 3 times. I mean, I would tune into the pigeon before that person falling.
And I think our commentary on that was, you know, pretty accurate and on point.
It was sublime. Now,
you know what I love, though? So Johnny and I in the booth, we are so comfortable with each other now that Johnny will be like, if, you know, he's just said a comment and then it's my turn and we, like, stop down. And he's like, I'm going to need you to say this. And then, like, I will just tell you, I'll be like, I'll just hit the button and be like, Johnny's going to redo that. Not even looking at you. But we both take it perfectly. Okay, yeah.
I got it. You're right. You're absolutely right. There was one point today where I didn't back up Tara necessarily during the actual performance, and she said something had been a fluke. So then we replayed this moment because it was, you know, it was a fall, like a strange fall where the girl got stuck in the ice and, like, kicked her own foot, and it was the whole
like
thing.
Came out sliding on her knees.
It was a fluke, and I was giving full-on, like, reportage and breaking down the elements and saying why it was, you know, befuddled. And she passes me a little piece of paper that writes in giant Lipinski letters, fluke, because she wanted to make sure that we use the same word. It's very political the way that we do certain things.
It sure
like,
is.
We have to be on the same page. People have to feel like we're on the same page, so we use the same word, fluke.
Yeah, I mean, I just like that.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, speaking of politics, we have to kind of address what happened this
week.
Before
we get into that.
All right, yeah.
Terrible topic. I wanted to say that I noticed this today. I told you it while we were in the booth. I'm like, I am starting to talk like you, and it's actually coming out in my commentary where we are so close. You know, you talk like your friend sometimes, and like Johnny has certain words that he uses it. Like he has this inside joke with us. A proper come down is obviously used when he's talking about his nightly routine. Today, I just dropped that mid-broadcast. Yeah,
I love it. You know, hashtag...
glorious. Mommy, certainly, yes.
Mommy loves it. Mommy loves it when Tara comes out with a glorious or a come down. Like, there's just... I mean, guys, we share a period. I mean, there's just certain things that are real weird about our relationship like that. But we definitely do have carryover when we talk about things. And, you know, I'll laugh like you occasionally. My mom's like, Tara?
Today, we were getting makeup done. And I'm like, Johnny, like... had some weird stomach pains. And he's like, well, from what I can remember, I think you probably are getting your period in a few days. Like, you actually know everything about me.
I know everything that's important. So I, like, Tara's such a hypochondriac that, you know, just a small pain in her stomach automatically means that, like, a warthog bit her in the face while she was sleeping. Mm-hmm. And that's why she's definitely going to die.
100%.
She has worms of
healing
some kind.
Over, yeah.
Yeah. But really, like, her period's coming, so like, why
well,
not?
Well, I don't actually
call
don't think
a
it, I mean, I don't think it's that.
But. I mean, it'll be here in a, shortly. Mommy's okay. Been timing it. Mommy's checking your fertility.
Okay.
All right. Now, from fertility to
the election,
the orange election, we can call it. So, like, Tara and I sort of make a point of not being over political. This election kind of roused me to the point where I would, like, go to the polls and, like, really choose a favorite. Because, honestly, like, I wasn't so behind either of the candidates. I just chose one that I felt like was less dangerous to my life and my country's life. And mm-hmm. It was so crazy because I don't get invested in elections. I'm not one of those people that sits and watches CNN and, mm-hmm. like, this state passed for blah, and this person won this state, and we're looking at the counties now, and voter turnout is low in blah county. I'm not that person. But the night that the election was happening, and I mean, I was very clear on my social media, at Johnny G. Weir, that I had voted for Hillary. And, like, again, like, I would have felt more torn up if I voted for Gaga to win a Grammy and she didn't win it and I cried. But there was just this weird feeling, like this weird, horrible feeling that kind of took over me. Watching the election coverage. So I was like, I'm going to go skate. So I went to skate, and then, like, the music was making me very nervous, and I didn't even like listening to music while I was skating, because while I was skating, all the stuff came up on Twitter, like, as Donald Trump moves ahead, the dollar falls, and then the Canadian immigration website fails.
The world is blowing up.
The world is blowing up, and it's just a terrifying situation. And then I went to sleep after skating, and I didn't stay up until, like, 4 a.m. to see who actually won, because I figured, oh, you know, she's got this. I was 100% sure.
I was, too, going into it. And then I remember watching it unfold, which was just so crazy. And Todd and I were just like, want to go get a drink and go eat? So we left and yeah. went to get dinner and just sort of looked at our phones.
Todd Kapp was super cute that day, though, offering people you as a possible nominee.
I mean, that is really sweet.
Todd Kapp actually posted a picture of Tara, if you guys hadn't seen it, at Todd Kapp, of Tara in, like, a pleather short and a American flag halter, and said, hey, vote for this pretty lady, which I thought was awesome. But anyway, back to the story, because I don't want to spend way too much time on politics, because we don't really have much to say other than, you know,
it was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. I woke up the next morning and I was just like, is this real? Does this really happen? And I was so taken aback by just going out the next day. And I'd watched Hillary's concession speech, and, you know, I didn't feel, she should have cried. I would have felt worse for her. I wanted some emotion. I wanted some acting. I wanted her to drop the F-bomb. I just wanted something wild to happen. But, you know, they're politicians. They aren't actresses. And I guess I was just hoping for something that wasn't there. But I went out the next day, and I went to Starbucks, and Starbucks was not playing music. So I was like, well, this is weird. Then I look around, and I was at a Starbucks in sort of this college town, and no one was laughing. No one was smiling. No one was happy. And it just, it's a really scary point. I mean, he's liable to do great things for us. We don't know. We have yet to see. But it's just a really scary time to be at. But with that said, anybody who listens to our podcast and is out demonstrating or is part of that sort of movement that's going on out there, we just want you all to stay safe and make good decisions and love your brothers and sisters and just try and find your own way of dealing with what has happened, because it happened. Deal with it, and we all have to move on. So with that said, no more politics from Tara and Johnny, because why? We're not experts. So I was thinking this week about odd offers. And when I asked Tara about this, you know, when we were writing down our one sheet for this podcast, I was like, have you ever had any really weird offers in your career?
I don't think so.
Like nothing?
I mean, I really can't think of anything. I mean, maybe I just don't hear about the offers that are real strange. I don't know.
You're insulated from them.
What about you?
I mean, you Campbell soup canned.
Yeah, I did.
And that's weird. I mean, I wouldn't look at you and think soup.
I was a Barbie.
You were
a
Barbie.
I skated with Barbie. I did a commercial, and they made, like, I had to pretend, because it was, like, on a green screen, pretend like I was holding, you know, like, Barbie's hand, and, like.
I did that with Dora the Explorer.
I mean, it's kind of a fun experience, though.
It's weird. Well, I mean, fun, but weird, like, skating with Barbie.
You and Dora.
Yeah, me and Dora. But no, I was looking through, well, here's the thing, like with all the political stuff, like I am a buff on history documentaries and weird documentaries.
Especially World War II.
World War II is my jam. Like I love learning about that time period and not the military side of it, but like the human stories from World War II. But in addition to that, I'm also really into the Cold War and that history, and communism interests me very much because... you know, for that many people to believe in the Soviet Union and Cuba and North Korea, there had to be something to it. Why did people think it was going to work, and why did people believe in it? Anyway, so North Korea came up, and I recently watched a really good documentary about North Korea abducting an actor and a producer, an actress and a producer, via Hong Kong and taking them to North Korea, and it was just really interesting.
Oh, goodness.
Documentary.
This makes me scared.
But anyway, getting back to the odd offers.
Yeah, what are your odd offers?
Well, I mentioned North Korea because I was actually offered to perform in North Korea. And it was about a year...
And you told me this, but you said no.
I said no. I mean, it was about a year after the Torino Olympics, which was my first Olympics. And they have a mass games to celebrate the birth of the dear leader every early when it's still cold out spring. And I was really, like, I was really taken aback by the offer because, you know, North Korea to us is super evil and it has a very evil dictatorship and a terrible human rights record. And it's just not any place that I would want to go so quickly. I'll watch a movie about it, but I'm not going.
Right.
And they wrote, and somehow they wrote through a Chinese company to offer me to perform in a skating show in North Korea. And... ultimately, it would require so much security for me to go from the American government. I would have offended completely the rest of the world that isn't North Korea by performing there, performing for him. So I ended up not going, but it was a really weird offer. And then my other weird offer, I was offered to do a solo pornography movie.
Wait, what?
Yeah, just by myself. Not taking it from any direction, just to do my own solo porno. And that also was after Torino when I was a young, beautiful thing.
I have so many questions, but I think I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait and really let this sink in and then
let's
come
talk
back.
About it. I've ripped my sweatpants.
Oh, just now?
I think that just happened. Oh. Well, here, you know what, guys? Don't buy cheap sweatpants and expect them to last.
It's like that Rio store.
Oh, my gosh. So, guys, there was a store in Rio, and Tara and I, like, we're out of the Olympics now, so we can kind of talk about real feelings about Rio, because there is... like, there is an amount of respect you have to have for the Olympic movement and your host nation, and there's all the stuff that we have to, you know, adhere to and, like, respect your hosts, which we do, and we had a lot of fun times in Rio, but really, we spent a lot of time just kind of hanging out.
At the hotel. And it was winter, so it was kind of gloomy and cloudy.
And windy.
We were all afraid to sort of, like, just risk it in an Uber, but we decided to do that anyway. But we didn't have, you know, much to do at certain times, so we... you know, went to this mall and,
What was it called? Fashion Mall.
And, I mean, obviously they had really nice stores, but you're not going to go in there and just, like, buy to buy. So...
well, you're not going to buy a Louis Vuitton bag for plus 70% import tax
and
stuff.
No.
Especially when the dollar's crashing so hard.
There was a store. I don't know. It was probably on the level of
Let's say it was kind of.
They charged a lot for it. Yeah, but I feel like the quality was like less than an H&M and not as cool as an H&M.
Right.
But it was like a Brazilian brand.
We love shopping for like native brands when we're out.
Right. And it was very colorful and like they tricked me by all the mannequins that were wearing their clothes on in the window and I got real excited.
Giselle.
Yeah, and I was like, "Oh wow, I'm going to like bring home some cool Brazilian clothes." And like I went in one day and like tried stuff on. I don't know if this happens to you, go in and they like trick you with mirrors in places and you're like, "This is amazing." And then you go home and it's like a completely different shirt, garment, whatever it is. And so that's what happened. I bought, you know, probably like 10 things. Came home and showed Johnny, or came to the hotel and showed Johnny. I was like, "This is terrible. Like, I hate it. Like, we have to go back tomorrow and return everything." And of course, they have like the policy that you can't return a single thing. So I could exchange it. And I remember we sat in there. You were trying to help me.
Like, yeah, there was very little English, also by the way, in Rio.
So I bought all these terrible shirts that are falling apart, and now like I felt compelled to like, when I got home, wear them because I bought them.
Yeah.
You know that you feel so guilty. So I like, and now I'm at the point where I was like, I hate their clothes. I never want to go back to that store again. I'm gonna donate all my Brazilian items.
Yeah, donate them to someone. Because I mean, they were cute in the moment. It's almost like when you go to Disney World and you buy the Mickey Mouse ears and then you wear them back on the plane, perhaps with all the other people that are also leaving Disney World. But if you went out in those Mickey Mouse ears, like, to go to the grocery store, people would look like you at you
like
a nut.
Nuts. I mean, we should go. This makes me think we should probably go to Disney.
It was making me think we should probably have like a shared fashion label where we sell things you can wear everywhere. I don't know why you went Disney World and I went storefront.
I was just thinking it could be fun for us to take like a little mini vacation at Disney World. I mean, those chocolate Mickey ears, you know what I'm talking about. The ones that are shaped like a Mickey's head with the thick, dark chocolate.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be lunch, and then we could go on some rides together. No.
I mean,
not
here's
feeling
the thing.
It.
I'm like chattering my teeth like Todd Kapp does right now, because here's the thing. I think children are great, but
I don't want to be near them.
I'm happy I don't have any. I can only take children in small increments, because like, I'm inappropriate. I don't know how to talk to a kid.
No, that's so untrue, though. Like, I have a feeling, like, when I do have a child, you're not going to be like that, but go on.
Well, no, that'll be different, because that'll be family.
Right.
But, like, strangers' children, oh, my God, they're so cute. They look like all the rest of them. no, but I, like, worry about pink eye. Like, oh, what pink eye, kid touched this, you know, ball pit that I'm jumping into with Tara. Who touched it first?
Pink eye, you know what that reminds me of? Did you have a sandbox growing up?
I did.
I had a turtle sandbox. And we got
Oh my God, the green one that laid flat on the ground with like the shell that comes off?
Yes. And then I got pink eye. And my mom was like, for sure
child.
That it was like either like ringworm or some dirty child was giving me pink eye. And so like I never played in it again.
Yeah.
I, like, had it for a year, and then it would just sit out. They never even, like, threw it away. I just would look at it. It was, like, forbidden turtle.
I just
can't go in there.
I pictured you just now in, like, a large picture window with your chin in your hand and a rainy day watching, like, workers use a dump truck to crush your turtle sandbox.
I wish we could go back to being kids together. Like, I'm sure we would be friends and so funny. I had so much energy. My mom and dad, we were together recently, and they were like telling me stories of when I was little. And I used to be like, I would wake up every morning so early, I'm sure like most kids, and go into their bedroom and lift their eyelids and be like, "Are you in there?" And I also had like the Elmer Fudd like sort of like lisp. And then I would be like, the kids. So
the kids,
I would hear
the kids
outside. I'd be like, the kids. My mom would be like, "Oh my God, we have a maniac." And you know what? They left my little Elmer Fudd thing way too long. And then I had to go to speech therapy in a very scary white wagon.
And now you work on television being the voice of a nation.
And I fixed it.
Well, good for bravo. I never knew that. Guys, we all learned something together.
Yeah.
You know what?
It was like cute when you're three, but they're like, "Oh, it's okay." And then like they waited till I was like six fixed. Like, fix it.
Homo, you a hero. That's really awesome. Wow, she fixed her own speech impediment that I wear proudly. Because, you know, for some reason, gay dudes are born with lisps for the most part. It's not put on. Like, it's just, like, our S's are real S-y. But well done.
Thanks.
I had no idea that you dealt with
high
that.
Five?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, see, that's proof, guys. We are in the same room. Do you hear that? Children, Disney World. Well, now we're looking for a place for Tara to do a bachelor, bachelorette moment.
Mm-hmm. There's a few ideas that were being thrown around at the moment.
Well, it's hard because your wedding party is giant.
It is giant. It is huge. But I know. Did we talk about how I picked that? It was just really difficult because I feel like, you know, the norm is like 6 to 8 people.
Yeah, but what if you leave one almost bestie or one bestie out?
No, and it's just like I realized at the end it felt like I was so happy that I did this because it's like different people are in the party that like reflect different times in my life, but we're all still very close right now. There's obviously some people I'm much closer to and see on a daily basis, but each one of them has such a special part of my life that I feel like it's kind of cool when I like look at them up there and what they represent for me. So I'm getting emotional.
I'm always so
I'm
worried.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was just watching your eyes tear up. I always worry when we talk about like personal things, but not with me so much as with you, because like I can hear you even when you're in LA and I'm in the East, I can feel you crying or welling up to cry, and like I totally get it.
I mean, there's so many times because when we text, like, I'll be in the car and I laugh, obviously, because you're very funny. And Todd will be like...
Guys, actually, that's a lie. We don't text. We don't talk to each other during the week, so we give you everything.
I mean, we sometimes text.
We sometimes text. We sometimes text.
And Todd will be like, what are you laughing about? And it, like, takes me a minute. And then I'm like, God, Tara, you're rude. Like, there I am, like, in my phone, like, laughing with Johnny, like, across the country. But then I feel like I get very, like, melancholy afterwards. And I'm sort of like...
I'm just left
him.
Here with Todd Kapp.
Yeah, and then I start. No.
No,
you know
I love you, Todd Kapp.
I love you,
I
Todd
I know what
Kapp.
You mean.
But anyway, the other night, and sometimes I will say emotional things to you. It depends. You know, I
it
try
depends
not
on how much you've drunk.
The other night, you're like, and I looked back, so the next morning.
You had been drinking.
I had, but there was no, so you scared me. So I went to dinner, had a glass of wine, and came home and was writing Johnny. And he wrote to me, he's like, are you drinking? And I was like, oh, my God, how did he know? And he's like, you're slurring your text. And then I was like, oh, God. And I just put the phone down and didn't even answer you back. And then I woke up the next morning and I went to look. I didn't slur any of my texts.
Well, here's the thing. You can't slur a text.
Well, I thought you meant that I, like, was mistyping.
No, I meant that you were, like, slurring. Like, I could hear you, like, no. What's funny is I send Tara a lot of, like, inappropriate things. Like, I'll find a picture of someone that we hate or someone that we think is funny or whatever.
And you write on the picture on, like, some app.
I use an app called Fonto to write on these pictures. And they're usually genius. Like, not tooting my own horn.
No, but they're pretty good.
But I give good meme. Is that what a meme is when you write on it? Or is that a meme
no,
a moving thing?
I think it's a moving thing.
All right. So anyway, my version of a meme is when I write things on... you know, socially unacceptable pictures.
Yeah. But anyway, we were talking about how I get very emotional sometimes for the people that I love. But I keep it usually to holidays, especially with you, because I feel like I don't want to overdo it.
Yeah,
you
we have a long time. We got a long time.
But there's every
like
once in a while I'll just send you a text where I'm like a full paragraph with no punctuation, periods, run-on sentences, just like what you mean to me.
Those are my favorite kind. I like trying to figure out where the punctuation goes. I love you so much, football, and lots of memories and blah. So speaking of holidays, I think we have to take a break.
Right.
Holiday! So, guys, we'll be right back. Holiday!
Tomorrow morning on Today, Tom Brokaw gets reaction from Capitol Hill on President Reagan's speech on the economy.
Every time she closed her eyes.
And we're back.
Yeah.
And that means we should talk about Thanksgiving.
Well, first of all, I was thinking in our short break where we didn't move or anything. Our break was actually like 10 seconds. But I was thinking about how hyperactive you were as a child and how you thought we'd be friends. But I don't know if we would have,
really?
You know? Yeah, like my mom used to put me in front of a television for like 4 hours to watch My Little Ponies or Care Bears or something. And I wrap myself up in blankets and I would just sit there, be completely dead quiet.
I love My Little Pony, the one with the ballet dancer with the leg warmers.
The ballet dancer with the leg warmers.
You would have liked me, my mom and dad say that I gave everything away. So this was like a constant problem. So I would have a bike and then like my friend wouldn't have a bike. So I'd give it away and I'd come home walking like down the block because we had a cul-de-sac with all. Yeah. And my mom would be like, where's your bike? And I'd be like, oh, I gave it to Danielle. She really liked it. Like I would give all my dolls away. My mom actually did this one thing that my aunt like laughs about and says it was like the meanest thing my mother could ever do. But I loved Cabbage Patch Kids. And I had Portia, which my uncle gave me. So it was very special. And it was the one with the red hair. And I took her everywhere. But I was also very forgetful. I mean, even when I was like, I look back like 12 and 13 at the rink. Like, I left my sweater and gloves every single day. My mom would be like, are you kidding me? Like, you're in high school and you can't remember your gloves?
Well, even now you leave things laying around. Even now she'll like leave her Valentino bag just kind of laying wide open on a subway platform.
So anyway, back to Portia. So I would leave
her. We've never ridden a subway together, by the way.
No, we haven't. No. So back to Portia. I would leave her outside a lot. And my mom would get angry because it would get dirty.
Can I interject really quick? That name
Portia.
For a doll just seems really aggressive. It seems, you know, it just seems very racy. For a doll.
Portia.
Was that the given name or was
I mean,
that a name,
I,
what you named
it was
her?
It was the given name. I just stuck with it.
Okay, Portia.
Portia.
Portia the redheaded cabbage patch.
Yes, and so I left her outside when it rained. So the dolls back then, remember how they were like made out of yarn? Like
oh, yeah.
And so if it got
and they got that
wet,
weird childlike smell after a little while
yes,
after you napped enough with them.
Gross. But it would, if you got them wet, like there would just be literal bald spots. Because it was, you know, then the string would be so skinny. So my mom was like, I'm going to teach her a lesson. And so the doll was, like, wet, and she flipped its hair over, so it was bald. And then you know how you have, like, a screen door and the regular door.
Tara, I'm going to shave your head. Mommy's going to shave your head.
Mommy hates it. Mommy's teaching you a lesson. Portia is dead.
Take care of everything.
So she put the doll in between the screen door and the actual door and then rang the doorbell. And she was like, Tara, go get the door. And so I run down and I open the door. And then Portia just slams headfirst onto the floor, her hair everywhere. She's like bald. And she's like, see what happens? Portia came home when she died. And like, this is what happens. And my aunt had like, my mom then calls like, oh crap, like something, I did something wrong. Like I was devastated because I thought
well,
Portia died.
Well, the death
died.
Of your best friend.
My mom.
Your redheaded stripper cabbage patch.
Yeah, and there she was, just face planted into the floor, and I thought I killed her.
Tara's welling up with tears. I mean, I can see that that's traumatic.
It is. I was really young. Anyway, I think we would have been friends.
Maybe. I mean, you would have been really hyper for me. I had a few. I'm putting you on the spot. Do you remember your best three friends
yes.
from when you were little? What are their names?
Danielle, Amanda, and Brittany.
I had Deanna, Nicole, and Danielle.
Oh.
Boom.
Oh, so you had a Danielle, too.
We had
Danielle.
The Danielle's.
Only thing, it's weird when you look back, what you remember. Like, Danielle, she liked ketchup. Like, so much ketchup. She put ketchup on everything. I remember coming over to dinner, my uncle, who's so funny, would just always be making these comments. And, like, now looking back, like, she did have a weird, like, ketchup fetish. It was, like, on everything. Like, every food, everything. It could be, like, anything that doesn't go with ketchup. And there she would just be squirting it. That's
like
what
onto a peanut butter fluff sandwich.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, just ketchup everywhere.
I remember one of my friends, Nikki, she was scrappy. And she came from an Italian Philadelphia family that lived down in Amish country for an inexplicable reason. And, you know, like, because they were city people. And we were townsmen. And there was one time where I was trying to do the right thing. And I was a very feeble, small child, like almost sickly. That's how small I was. And there was one time we were all swimming because that family had a pool. Not the best pool in the neighborhood, but they had a pool. And I was trying to give a float back to Nikki's sister, Deanna. And I was trying to give this float back, and Nikki had tried to steal it and, like, had pushed Deanna off of the float. And I tried to be a nice guy even then and not be judgmental. But I tried to give the float back, and Nikki, like, I'm surprised I'm not still scarred from it. She went full on, like, young girl nail attack, and I had scratches all over my neck, my chest, my back, my face.
Oh, I would have taken care of Nikki.
Yeah, I mean, poor thing. She had a crush on me, too, when we were little. I mean, we knew that wasn't going well, because I had already had my awakening when I'd seen Pretty Woman, and Richard Gere, like, you know, got the tent pitched. And, yeah, so I was already in that phase of my life where I had some understanding of myself.
Right, right.
And she was upset, but I've
Nikki
never forgotten
doesn't
that.
Deserve you anyway.
Well, apparently she has grown up into a terrible human being.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, she,
scratching
like,
people, huh?
Scratching people. Like, you know, just a very nasty, nasty woman. But with that said, how about the holidays, huh? They're coming upon us.
They are. I mean, I'm sort of just worried about getting the right gifts. That's my biggest biggest concern.
You know what? Don't rush it. Like, let's get through Thanksgiving first.
I know, but I'm usually the person that has all my Christmas gifts done very early. And this year, I don't think that's going to happen.
Remember last year when you tried to trick me?
Oh, yeah.
So last year, Tara got me and my son, Tioma, my Japanese chin, a beautiful dog collar. And she calls me while she's in the store. And she's like, Johnny, my dear, dear friend has a Japanese chin. Like, what size collars do they wear?
Did you know?
I knew. Of course I knew. Because if one of your friends had had a Japanese chin, you would have certainly
told me.
They
told you, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I would have known if another friend had a chin, because then my chin would play with that chin.
Right.
But, yeah, I knew about it. So try not to, like, let me on the secret
this year. I won't. I'm going to try really hard.
Honey, didn't you have a funny story about your mom and presents?
Yes, I did. So when I was younger, it's been a family joke because, you know, I have little nieces, and I see enough kids now that they're always asking for, like, where their Christmas gifts are. Are they being, like, hid in the closet? Whatever. And my aunt always laughs that, like, my mom played this trick on me that actually worked. You know, I'm sure I got to a certain age where I was like, okay, this is BS. But we would go to Toys R Us, and she'd sit me in the car and then ask me things I liked. So I would pick them all out, and I'd get so excited. And then she wouldn't put them in the cart, and then we would just leave. And she's like, oh, I just wanted to, you know, see. Like, I have no idea what she said to me, but, like, literally had no idea that when I went there that I was picking out my Christmas gifts. And then secondly,
No, Santa picks them out.
Right. But then also, like, I wonder why I never wondered, like, why we did that excursion.
See,
but anyway.
This is why kids trouble me, because, I mean, they're just wobble around when they walk and they're dumb.
They just listen to mommy.
You should have been savvy enough
mommy
to know that mommy was tricking
so.
You. Mommy says so.
What about you when you were a kid in Christmas?
I remember having really, like, ostentatious Christmases. And, like, my parents went all out. My mom still does. And she'll like, because obviously we all have Christmas morning still together, unless my brother's off with his woman. And, you know, I'll be like, Mom, like, all I want this year is a new Swiffer. Or all I want is new white footies. Because I'm really tough to buy for, because everything that I want, I buy.
Mm-hmm.
That's me. And she has a hard time. And then, you know, I, like, don't buy me any clothes because, you know, I won't wear them. Not even pajamas. Don't buy them.
Right.
You know what? Don't try. Like, it's really specific. Most of it's in the ladies section anyway. So don't try.
Right.
And she's fine with that. She's gotten over it. But she'll still find, like, really crafty, beautiful ways to, like, give me the spirit. Like, gorgeous, like, Hello Kitty-themed jelly bellies and, you know, she found there are these plates I love by Fornacetti. They sell them at Barney's. And I felt really bad that she actually went through the expense to get one for me. But there are these faces that have all been that an Italian designer has created over the years. Uh-huh. And it's a big company, and it's inspired by one woman. So this is one woman's face on these plates in different variations, like one looking through a keyhole, one like with a cigarette, one with gold splatter all over her face. Like, they're just gorgeous, gorgeous plates. I love them. I put them on my wall. And she found me one last year. Like, she is really thoughtful and really watches everything, but ultimately, like, all I really want is white footies. When I was little, it would be, like, bike, skis,
right,
ice skates, saddle, like, all the stuff that I needed,
right,
just piles of
right.
it. It was outrageous, like, way over-gifted.
I mean, we do that, too. But, like, I will wrap the smallest thing, like, separate. I love gifts. I love giving gifts. I will, like, put one earring in one box and the other earring in the other box, just so I hand my mom, like, 30 gifts.
So then mommy opens it and, yeah. Like, she's like, what am I supposed to do with one earring? I'm not Boy George, Tara. And then you're like, oh,
it's
open
coming.
That one.
It's coming. I just don't know where it is in the mix.
Well, okay, so we've gotten ahead of ourselves yet again. Thanksgiving, what are you doing?
Going to Cleveland. And my parents are going, and we're staying with Todd's family.
Ohio recently gave Donald Trump part of his presidency.
Right. And that's where we're going.
I'm just kidding, everyone. But you did.
So, yes, we're doing Cleveland. I don't know if we have, like, what plans we have. I'm just excited to go somewhere cold.
What are you going
to
eat?
I don't know. It's always strange because you never know. Like, I feel like you look at your own family's Thanksgiving and there's, like, certain things.
There are standards that,
that you
be
grow
there.
Up on. And, like, we had, like, string beans with, like, breadcrumbs that would get crispy. But you never know. I don't know what their tradition is. I mean, I'm assuming turkey and the staples.
Yeah. I mean.
I mean, if they whipped out, like, you know, shrimp, could be a bad night, but I don't think so.
Shrimp at Thanksgiving.
I brought my onesie because I'm staying in New York and then going straight there.
Yeah.
So I really like to wear my Christmas onesie on Thanksgiving.
Okay. When do you decorate right after Thanksgiving's
right.
over for Christmas?
Yes,
yeah?
I do. We're actually going. Well, first off, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
As I've always said, I'm a solid communist and I do not like.
But you guys do it.
We do it. Like, our standards are the turkey.
Does your brother cook?
Sometimes. Okay. But again, his woman kind of runs his life now. He's got a hen in his chicken house. Uh-huh. So he has to do what she wants a lot. But as it should be. But
mommy hates it.
Mommy hates it. I don't, you know, I miss my little brother. But no, for Thanksgiving, we always have the bird, and we always have creamed mushrooms, because from my part of Pennsylvania, it's all about the mushroom. We do a string bean with almonds.
Ooh.
And shrimp. I'm kidding. No, we do lots of things. Like, we actually love, like, I've made beautiful cranberry sauces before in my life, because I do like some of the cheer that comes along with these holidays, but in general, like, the enforced eating and, like, fun having. Like, I have fun every day.
Yeah.
I don't need a special day
to
do it. I like
Thanksgiving. I like holidays in general.
Yeah.
We're going to Montana for Christmas.
Jeez.
I know. I'm very excited. I want it to snow. I think we're going to fly Dubby into Bozeman because they have, United has this pet safe program, but it only goes certain places, but it actually goes into Bozeman. So we're going to go there and then we're going to drive to Montana.
What's pet safe? Now they go underneath the plane?
Yeah, they go underneath the plane, but like it's the car, like it's controlled, like all, so you know, like sometimes cargo is just, I mean, back in the day it used to be very dangerous because the air would either be freezing or it'd be hot
or unbreathable.
Everything's controlled, and then you have people that, like, well, before he goes on he gets water. And what are you doing,
guys? I'm having the hardest time with my underpants today, and one of the bits keeps, like, getting stuck in one of the elastic bits of my underwear. It's because I'm fat.
So as I'm saying this, Johnny just gives me, like, the 1 minute finger, and I'm like, what are you doing? Anyway, so
I just had to put it back in, guys. I'm sorry.
So we're going to Montana, and I'm excited.
So from Johnny's ball to Montana.
So
back at
perfect
it.
Segue.
No, I like that idea.
What do you want for Christmas? Should we not talk about this now? Although, like, I would like you to start just subtly giving me hints, because I get very stressed because I want people to get the right gift.
Just your attention and love.
Well, you got it.
Great. Your gift is already
Diff
on its
eyewear.
Way. Oh, Diff eyewear is a really good gift. You know why? Because for every beautiful pair of reasonably priced sunglasses that they sell, another pair goes to a person in a developing country or places where they don't have easy access to medical or reading glasses. So
obviously that is the perfect holiday gift.
Yeah,
or like, I mean, a good price.
Diff eyeglasses, amazing.
I mean, you
price.
Could be like, I'm giving you designer glasses, and they don't need to know that they're not $200.
Well, no, they are designer. They're Diff,
right.
And they're fabulous. They're,
I mean, just giving you guys a hint, get the aviators. Those are my favorite.
The gold. You can't
mirrored.
You can't see through them. They're just gold and lovely. And they make everything look great on Instagram. And Diff Eyewear, we're a huge fan, and we love what they do and are super into them.
So go to diffeyewear.com/TJ. And that's diffeyewear.com/TJ. And, oh, guess what? You get 15% off your purchase when you use the T and J little code.
Yeah, so make sure you do it and buy sunglasses for all of your friends and family. Just make sure you know what their nose looks like. make sure you buy Diff eyewear for all of your friends and family for the holidays.
So now, what are you doing for Christmas?
For Christmas, like, I honestly care so little about holidays.
I know you like New Year's, but, like, I want you to like Christmas.
Well, I'm trying to tell you my story, and you just
go on.
You stepped all over my feet. So I am so not anti-holiday. I just do not celebrate holidays, and they really mean nothing to me because I didn't have a childhood, really. And you did, and you got excited about it, obviously, and this was your childhood with your holidays.
It's
but I didn't
part
get into
of the childhood
it.
That I had.
Yeah. I mean, I went and did run-throughs on Christmas, and I'm sure
did
you did, too.
Yeah.
But, like, that's what I remember about Christmases, like, when I was really old enough to.
I have a story about that. Go on.
Yeah, we'll get to it. But, yeah, so I don't even know when most holidays are. I know this year that Hanukkah and Christmas fall at the same time, which is great. It makes it easy for gift-giving and not staggering and stuff. Plus, I light the candles for my son, who's half Jewish by birth. And so I have to do that. And, yes, I know he's a dog, everyone, but it's
but
important.
It is.
Religion's
it is.
Important to him, and he likes, you know, he's a Buddhist by choice, but, you know, he's born Catholic Jew. And that's just the way it is. So we light candles. But, I don't know what I'm doing because I don't know exactly what is happening around that. I know I have to go to China soon. And that's going to be a bit of a drama, and that's like a week before Christmas. It's a huge New Year's TV special they're filming, and I'm actually skating at the water cube that they use for all the swimming at the Beijing Olympics.
Oh, how cool.
It's really cool, but the ice is tiny. The ice is like the size of
a postage stamp. Those are always fun.
Yep, and I'm skating with a live singer, and there was some drama about the song I was going to use because the Chinese producers love when I skate as a Chinese heroine, whether it's a concubine or a princess or a queen.
Right.
They love doing that to me.
Queen of Bryant Park.
The queen, the winter queen of Bryant Park, and now the queen of jasmine flowers of all of China. That's what I'm doing. I'm skating to Jasmine Flower, which is like Mo Hu Li or some, like it's a name of a funny song. But it's going to be so hard because it's very like artistic and stretched out, but the ice is so small that I won't be actually
moving.
Able to skate. But yeah, I know I'll be in China. I know that I'll be home around Christmas time. I just don't know what we're doing. Probably like opening presents and being upset that everything's closed.
Yeah, probably.
That's what my family does.
Well, do you remember during holidays though, skating? I remember I had a disastrous Easter once. I was, I don't know, maybe 12, and I must have had like a slight attitude, you know, at that age, like very slight, but enough to ruin a holiday. Easter Sunday, you know, you go and you skate in the morning, but I was just terrible, like literally one of the worst skating days of my life and just falling all over. I think I determined that I lost a triple that morning and it was just like devastating. So I wouldn't get off the ice and my mom was home waiting because we're supposed to go and have like brunch and whatever. And my dad's like, you got to get off the ice. You know, he doesn't, like, my mom was at the rink with me. My dad has no idea. He's like, look good to me.
Yeah.
And, like, I was just, like, hysterical. And I come home, and I, like, ruined Easter. I remember this so vividly. I wouldn't go to brunch. I just, like, sat home and moped and, like, put on a saucy attitude.
Well, lucky you that you had the opportunity to go to brunch because mommy didn't know what brunch was. Mommy was busy paying for your new mittens that you were leaving everywhere. Mommy, brunch? What is brunch?
What is brunch?
It's a stupid word.
So fancy.
Mommy hates it. Mommy doesn't know what this bourgeois word brunch means.
This is so expensive.
So fancy, so expensive.
On that note.
Yeah, we got to go. We have lives.
I'm going to New York.
Tara's going to New York to spend a week doing some fittings and
trying-ons
and things.
Maybe a little wedding dress, you know, moment tomorrow.
Pretty exciting. I mean, we're doing the dog show this week. That's going to air on Thanksgiving for NBC, which is going to be fun. We talked about it last time. But most importantly, we're going to stalk all of you guys on social media.
We want to make sure you're subscribing.
Yeah, subscriptions are the most important. If you enjoy this podcast like we do and like we know you do, bruh.
Subscribe.
It's really important for our health and well-being. It's almost like Tinkerbell. Like if you don't applaud, she dies.
She just like her light starts
she
dimming.
Dies. She dies.
And then she.
It's a Disney way of saying she dies. Tinkerbell just dies. Like our podcast if you don't subscribe. But we are so thankful, so beyond exceedingly thankful to all 89.6 billion listeners that we have, including all of you in China, ni hao, and all of you in South Korea, annyeonghaseyo. And we are just so bowled over by your support, by your love, and by, I don't know, your esteem.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
This program is brought to you in living color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded.